Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. You are listening to Encouragementology, and we are talking about listening to your heart, the only voice that matters. Let me start out by saying there is no hidden agenda here. No one is telling you to defy authority or ignore the ideas and opinions of others. Encouragementology is about the road to self-discovery, healing yourself, and helping others. When you find your place in the world and your voice, you can encourage and make a measurable impact. You have a lot to say and feel and do. Staying in touch with who you are and what's important to you is paramount in leading a satisfying life. Dare I say happy? Yes, you deserve happiness no matter what. Happiness doesn't happen when you put your head in the sand and turn a blind eye. But it does happen when you listen to your heart as a guide. There seems to be an overwhelming need to do something, anything. But the problem that exists seems too big and overwhelming in itself. We're at an impasse, and for many, a standstill. Worry, anger, despair, frustration consume us, and we feel too small and insignificant to do anything. But if you don't do something positive, then that's as good as doing something negative, and the pressure keeps mounting. How do you feel? What's important to you? And what are you afraid of? Don't think about the surface level answer, but really dive deep down. Ultimately, what are you afraid of? Philippe Eisler, a psychologist with almost 30 years of personal and professional experience integrating mindfulness, personal growth, self-realization, psychotherapy, and spiritual practices, wrote, "Follow your heart, not your fear." Most of our stress, anxiety, indecision, and doubt around making any decisions are rooted in fear. We fear unknown outcomes, or we fear negative outcomes that we predict might happen. Fear reactions always serve to disassociate us from our true and integral self in the moment. In his book, The Biology of Belief, Bruce Lipton talks about how a cell is either in defense mode or in growth mode. It can't be in both at the same time. If we are, even just in our thoughts, engaged in fear and trying to defend ourselves from negative outcomes, then the choices we make will be based in trying to protect ourselves from whatever it is we fear. They will not be grounded in hope, confidence, and faith. They will not be conducive to growth and thriving. Think about the heart pumping and getting excitable and making a rash decision very quickly based on something that you fear is against you. Imagine how you make those decisions, where your mind is at that time. It isn't necessarily easy to resist fear and to listen to your heart. I mean, our brains are wired to prioritize safety. This means that the brain will pay attention to fear and let it guide our thinking. You know how your mind can just play tricks on you. It takes practice and perseverance to find a calm center beneath and within the fear. It's the work of mindfulness applied to action. Mindfulness is fundamental as it trains you to detach from the narrative of the fear-based thoughts. But making decisions to act in ways that challenge those fears takes the challenge up a notch. Part of the solution is reminding yourself of what has always happened in the past when you've acted according to those fears. Remember how it turned out? You might find that there is always some kind of dissatisfaction or disappointment, if not outright frustration as a result. It's never really worked out right. Part of the solution is working on reducing those fears, and part of the solution is in feeling the fear and doing it anyway, pushing through the fear and experiencing the positive outcomes. Can you trust yourself? Trust your heart. When you come to make all your decisions in this heart-centered way, you'll never be disappointed. There is a feeling that comes simply from making a decision this way, based on a felt response in the body, where you physically experience your body saying yes or no, that allows you to detach from expectations about the outcome altogether and to feel good and confident about your decision regardless of the outcome. You will feel good and strong simply because you're making a decision that you know is right for you. Don't let your fears push you to the edge of the cliff to make a rash decision in the moment. Take your time, evaluate the landscape, and then make an educated decision. And that's what we're going to talk about on this show. The outcomes we wish for are not always the outcomes we need or that will be the best for us. The outcomes we wish for are often based on a sense of lack, longing, or insufficiency. In your emotional heart, you may fear, you may want to avoid something, or you may long for something. In your energetic heart, the response will not be based on any sense of fear, avoidance, lack, or insufficiency. It is based on consistent, integral sense of self in relationship to others, to the world, and to life itself. We're talking about really connecting to who you are, to the world, and your place in it. The more you practice decision-making in this way, the more you develop an incredible sense of freedom and the ability to move in this world in a way that is true to yourself and to your life purpose. It helps to cultivate the courageous self-acceptance and the fearless heart described in Buddhist teaching. And when making your decisions become clearer, less stressful, and less conflicted, it makes your relationships with others a lot easier. You let go of people-pleasing, of guilt, of feeling like you have to explain yourself or even compromise yourself and make decisions that aren't right for you. How many times do we take a back seat to what we feel other people want us to do and say? How many times do you want to speak up from your heart, but you just feel like you will be judged and what you have to say isn't worthy? How many times have you silenced yourself out of fear? You may be afraid that if you act according to your heart, you will make people angry. Who wants to make people angry? And that may be exactly what happens. But your great fears of the consequences of people being angry with you never happen. You realize that even if you have to deal with loss, you've regained something for yourself. Relationships become simpler as you feel a sense of wholeness, of integrity. You know you are acting with integrity, and so you feel comfortable affirming your choices. You feel less defensive when people disagree with you. This is a freedom we should all wish for and grant each other. Doesn't that feel freeing? Being able to speak your mind and not worry about the consequences? Now, granted, you don't want to antagonize anyone, but speaking up for yourself and how you feel in that moment is important. We're talking from the heart, not about political matters or social matters, but how you feel about yourself and what's important to you. So much much of what we think and feel on the surface is about acceptance. That's completely normal. Everyone wants to be liked and accepted. You might be at a new job trying to fit in, or part of a new family, attending a new school, or settling into a new community. Before you stake your claim and put up your flag, it's normal to sit back and observe the culture to see what's important to everyone else. It's even normal to start adopting the practices and beliefs as a part of belonging. Let's say you move to a rural area where hunting is a normal part of life, or you're adopting a new culture in a different part of the world. It's important to get out of your comfort zone and share, learn, and grow. But when you lose your ability to listen to your heart as a way to please others, it's time to write the course on your journey to self-discovery. We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day, so let's start giving. I've been a little obsessed with this song lately. At first, the words came to me and I thought it was important to listen to them as a reminder that we do have the power to make a change. And then watching the video again transported me back to a simpler time in my life. At that moment, it provided some much needed comfort. Send them your heart. I love that line. First, we have to get in touch with what our heart is saying to us, and then we need to share it with others. Let's climb to our higher vantage point for a moment. Sometimes it's critical to get an aerial view of the challenges we're facing to find a different perspective. Information and opinion overload is like being blindfolded, spun around, and handed a bat. We can just start hacking away in frustration, and because we feel like it's our only option. You have power. Never forget that. You can lead a march, and you can help the person next to you. The one whose problems might have been overshadowed with the state of the world, but still so very important to them. Reaching out and letting them know you see them, you hear them, can make all the difference. It's important that we don't get lost in the shuffle when our voices can't be heard over the crowds. You are important and you matter. You have an opportunity to listen to your heart and those you encounter, connect, understand, and encourage. How important are words? We've all heard Freud's quote, "Words have a magical power. They can either bring the greatest happiness or the deepest despair." Magic words. actually found a book discussing this exact idea, Magic Words, the science and secrets behind seven words that motivate, engage, and influence by Tim David. Yes, words have power and meaning. The magic, however, is in the understanding where the power and the meaning come from. The magic is in understanding how human beings interact with language and how we interact with one another. The magic comes when we use the power of those words on purpose, with love, instead of by accident or worse, with intentional malice. Communication is not about knowing some words. It's about understanding people. Human beings crave acceptance from one another. They want to feel like they belong. They want to know there are people out there who agree with them and accept them. This is why yes is a magic word. Saying yes to someone is a big way to express agreement and acceptance. Human beings also crave individuality. They want to feel unique and valued as a person. This is why someone's name is a magic word. It shows that you are focused on them. Human beings like to imagine what could be. They see what is and think about how they can make it better. That is why if is a magic word. It engages the fun process of the hypothetical. Human beings need to be appreciated. They don't want their efforts to go unrecognized. This is why thanks is a magic word. Saying thanks acknowledges others and shows gratitude. Human beings want to feel needed. They want to feel like they contribute to others in a meaningful way. This is why help is a magic word. When you ask someone for help, it allows them an opportunity to play the role of hero. Human beings want to know why. Cause and effect is very important to us. Random acts of violence with no clear motive are the kind that bother us the most. This is why because is a magic word. When people hear because, they know the answer is coming. It scratches the irritating itch left behind by an unresolved why. A practice within encouragementology is here's your cue. It stands for connect, understand, and encourage. You might have heard me reference it once or twice. I gave it an acronym to help it stick and make it tangible. It's simply a reminder of something so obvious it bears repeating. Step outside of yourself and your own issues and connect with someone. Notice the world around you and try and empathize with another human being. It could be an elderly person who needs a kind face and an ear to talk to. It could be a single mother struggling to make it all work out and keep her sanity. It could be a divorced father trying to navigate life and learning all by himself. It could be a youth confused and frustrated by the pressures of the world and not feeling as if they measure up. Don't leave a post or a comment. If you feel that's the only way to break the ice, send a message, but be prepared to do more. We need human connection. And even in a time where it may seem impossible, go out of your way to reach out. Next is understanding. Be willing to listen without judgment or advice. Just be there for someone. Open your mind and, most importantly, open your heart. True connections are made heart to heart. Active listening takes practice and discipline. Listening without creating your own story in your mind or shifting the focus to problem solving is difficult. Just try to listen to the story and the ideas as they unfold. When it's appropriate, offer words of encouragement. I say appropriate because it's natural to want to solve someone's problems and rush to get them over a hump. Words of encouragement can come off as a battle cry and a rally for the finish line if delivered too early. People need a chance to talk through the challenge and formulate a solution when they feel ready. Then simply letting someone know you heard them and you believe in them can make all the difference. I know you can do it. Breathing these types of sentiments into the wings of someone grounded may be all it takes to give flight. I know you can do it. What if you buy into all this and you really do want to make a change? What if you put your hand on your heart and all you hear are crickets? How do you actually hear that inner voice? Well, I found this article from Jessica Estrada at wellandgood.com. It's on 7 ways to pump up the volume on your intuition so you can listen to your inner voice. She sat down with Los Angeles-based life coach and breathwork teacher Gwen Dittmar to ask her some tips on how to hear your inner voice. So, number one, create space for your inner voice to come through. Right? One of the reasons why people aren't hearing their intuition or trusting it or following through on it is because there's no space for it to come in. The solution? More quiet time. Prayer is actually asking for guidance, and then meditation is the space that you create to be able to hear the answers. Whether you sneak away for a brisk nature walk or meditate in your car before work, incorporating more quiet time into your day or just be present and listen to what's coming up for you will make all the difference. And you don't even have to go out of your way to carve out quiet time. Just squeeze it in alongside mindless activities you're already doing, like washing dishes, showering. That's a great place. I always try to open my mind and listen during showering. And maybe even exercising. Take out those earbuds. Instead, just listen to yourself. You'd be amazed at the wisdom that can come through when you're elbow deep in dish soap. Number two, pay attention to your emotions. Although we refer to it as an inner voice, your intuition may not manifest itself as a voice at all. It might just be a feeling. Intuition often comes through your emotions. Your emotions are simply feedback. It's a part of attempting to get your attention. So when emotions bubble up, don't shrug them off. Don't feel guilty for having them. Instead, try to decipher what the emotion is really trying to tell you. You can even have a conversation with the emotion. Also, pay attention to any bodily sensations like digestive issues, a lingering cough, a headache, or fatigue. All of these can also be ways that your inner guidance seems to try to tell you something. Number three, look for your inner voice patterns. Whether you realize it or not, your inner voice has a pattern. It will usually speak to you in similar ways so that you can learn to tune into it. It's about cultivating a new relationship with your intuitive voice. Similar to any other relationship, you have to get to know it. You have to understand how it sounds and the things that it says. Push out the negative self-talk. Learn the difference between the two. To strengthen your intuitive muscle, a simple exercise you can do, it involves taking a look back at your life and collecting some intuition data, if you will. Notice how your intuition has popped up for you in the past by remembering a time where you felt pulled to do something for no logical reason. Maybe you had an inner knowing that you shouldn't attend a party and later found out that some drama went down. Or maybe you had a gut feeling to not work with a certain person and you didn't listen to it, and it turned out to be a big headache. Make a note of how it felt to receive that intuitive hit and whether or not you followed through. And if you did, what was the outcome? Your notes are literal proof of how intelligent and all-knowing your inner voice can be. For some people, it's really helpful to see the data right there in front of them to believe their intuition. Number four, set the intuition to tune in to your inner voice. Learning how to listen to your inner voice can be as simple as setting the intuition every day to tap into it. It's like you plant a seed in the garden and, you know, you'll start to see it grow naturally. The willingness to listen to it, it's sometimes all you need to awaken this awareness of your inner voice. Don't let your mind take over. That's number five. Many of us are so conditioned to go straight to our heads when we're looking for answers. In our minds, it makes more sense to make a decision or choose our life path from a logical perspective instead of going with our gut or what feels right. The problem is, there are so many voices swirling around, which makes it difficult to know which one is actually our intuition. Your mind, your fear, and your intuition are all battling for your attention. It's this noise that creates confusion and prevents us from following through on what our inner voice is telling us to do. Here's a pro tip. Pay attention to the first answer that comes through when you're making a decision. That's usually your inner voice talking before your mind has time to actually possess it. Go with your gut. How many times have you said, "Ah, I should have gone with my gut. I knew that was the right answer, and then I talked myself out of it." Number six, take a moment to pause and breathe into it. If you need to make a decision in the moment but can't figure out what to do, Dittmar suggests going and doing an easy breathwork exercise. You simply breathe in through your nose for four counts, hold for seven counts, and then exhale out of your mouth for eight counts. Okay, so that's breathing through your nose for four, holding for seven, and exhaling through your mouth for eight. You can take three of these breaths and just sit in that space. It brings some clarity and washes out the cobwebs and the fog of your mind. When you exhale out of your mouth, it connects you to your heart and to your lower chakras. That's really where you want to connect to when you're in a state of confusion, not the mind. You can also use your hands to help you connect even deeper. Just put your left hand on your stomach and your right hand on your heart. The left side is the feminine side, so it allows you to connect to your gut and your intuition. Your right hand is associated with logic and the mind. So when you bring the right hand to your heart, it connects you to the truth. Number seven, talk to your confusion. Can't hear your inner voice? Ask it to speak up a bit. Start by pinpointing where you feel the confusion in your body. This helps separate yourself from that feeling. Maybe it's tension in your shoulders or pressure in your head. This starts to create the space between your higher self and the confusion. The confusion is not who you are. It's just where you are. Imagine you're talking to your confusion as if it were a person right in front of you, and you ask it, essentially, "What's up?" Listen to what it tells you. The response might be that you're too tired to go to the event or you don't feel like the decision supports your highest evolution. By giving yourself the time and space to just have the conversation, you're giving your inner voice more power. In short, it's like building a muscle. Learning how to listen to your intuition takes work. The rewards are going to be huge. Now, you might be thinking, yeah, but I always make the wrong decision. Nothing ever works out in my favor. I'm always on the losing end. Blanket statements using generalizations mean you miss the details. The ones that spell out the time you won. The time you hit the nail on the head. When the forces of nature had you in their current and life was going your way. It's easy to overlook the good when the bad hits so hard. But take a moment right now. Close your eyes. Put that hand back on your heart and take in a deep breath. Hold it. Now slowly let it out. As you exhale, let all the negative and pent-up frustration leave your body. Push out all the questions left unanswered and all the wrongs that can't be made right. Drain your body of anger and despair. Now, sit quietly with this empty feeling. This peaceful, easy feeling. Before you take in a big breath, sucking in all the stress, anxiety, and weight of the world, be mindful. You own your body and your mind, and you choose what goes in it. It's okay to take a day off and back away from the chaos to regain your bearings. You need a moment to reconnect with yourself and your own feelings and to listen to your heart. Each day you choose. Begin your day reminding yourself of who is in charge. As your morning begins and you start absorbing all that is around you, pick your path. Avoid toxic conversations. Pass up the chance to validate someone else's opinion. And don't forget, negative media is a choice. Unplug and turn off. Taking care of yourself isn't selfish. It's empowering. I hope you've been able to pick up a few nuggets of inspiration. That's always the goal on Encouragementology, just some positive alternatives to life's challenges. We are going to face challenges day in and day out, but we have the power to control our reaction to those, what we participate in and what we don't. And it's all about a healthy balance. You know, you want to be there for others, but you want to be there for yourself as well. How do you find that healthy balance? You want to push for your goals, but you want to have time for your family and yourself. How do you find a healthy balance? How can you take care of people and nurture without people pleasing? It's all a healthy balance. And I hope on this show, you're able to dig into some things you hadn't thought about before. Maybe look at it from a different perspective. It's always my goal to get to a higher vantage point so we can really look down. You know, I always use this analogy, but it makes so much sense to me. When you're just hacking through the jungle with your machete and you're not being strategic, you can go all over the place. And some of that is normal. You know, some of those trials and tribulations, hitting the wall, turning around, hitting another wall, is just part of life. But if we can take a moment, look at everything that we've been through, gather some data based on that, and use it in our toolbox for moving forward on our journey, then we're all the better for it. So we talked a little bit about just the need to really tune in to what your heart says. So many times we're influenced by so many other outside influences, taking over, controlling our thought process, imposing their opinions, and we lose track of how we really feel about something. You know, surface level, we want to be liked. We want to go with the flow. We want to be part of the crowd. But maybe personally, we definitely have an opinion or what it feels good to us and what helps us and nurtures us. When's the last time you checked in with that? This is a good reminder that we need to sit still. We need to unplug. We need to turn everything off and just go internally. Have an introspective conversation with yourself. How delightful is that? We talked a lot about fear and how fear can definitely control your thought process, control where you're going with your mind, control your reactions to so many things. When you're scared, you're going to do a knee-jerk reaction. You're going to fight back. You're going to make rash decisions. How to take a mindful break. Just step back, look at everything, and listen to yourself. Coming at it from a different angle. We also talked a lot about the power that you have. We forget that. We forget that we're powerful when we feel helpless. When we're in a situation where we feel like we can't contribute, we feel powerless and we forget we have people all around us, people that are right at an arm's length that we can reach out to, we can encourage, and we can impact. And what a beautiful feeling that is to be able to have that much power right at your fingertips that you could turn around and impact somebody today, right this hour. You know, maybe you can't do that in person yet or all the time, but you can find creative ways to reach out and connect and listen and encourage. You know, we talked about understanding human beings and those magic words. Remember those seven magic words? There was yes, if, thanks, help, because. Aren't those some great words? We also talked about just, you know, thinking of that practice, here's your cue. You know, I put that acronym just to make it easy, something you could put in your pocket and pull out and use it, or something you can reference. You know, the first time I ever gave a speech on here's your cue, I had someone say, you know what? I did that today and I didn't even know that's what I was doing. So that was beautiful and such validation that we need that gentle reminder, you know, something to connect that to. How exciting the power that we possess to impact another person. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they are not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit Encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you, turn down the chaos and turn up the volume on your inner voice. Your thoughts, ideas, and opinions matter. Instead of persuading someone else, convince yourself. Listen to your heart and let it guide your day. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. Someone threw her into the past was clear.